Let's bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to do our opening prayer this morning? Commissioners?
There you got one right there.
Yes, sir. Lopez, thanks for being with us this morning.
Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share community. Thank you for the opportunity to bring everybody together to share good spirit, good health, and future planning. Also, dear Lord, please help us to have the right strength and guidance to do the right thing and have the integrity when we're not, when we need it the most. Also, you've blessed us with so many things, and give us the strength to give those that are in need and maybe those that aren't in need that assistance that they so deserve here in this great country of America. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Reflect that all members of court are present this morning. Commissioners, just real quick, before we start our proclamations and resolutions, I want to introduce a couple of folks that are here. Patrick Lopez and Patrick Black are here. They've come in from where, Patrick? From?
Your Honor, we've come in from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. It's a small sliver that is all in its own world, Virginia. But
they brought a truck in, and they're parked over near the Veterans Clinic off the loop, and they're serving veterans in our community, and we thank you for being with us today. Thank you for what you're doing. Appreciate you being here. Also, commissioners, you know, there's so many people that need to be thanked for the efforts that this community put forth during the hurricane, from our law enforcement personnel, fire department, our hospital district personnel, all of our first responders, volunteers. Over the next few months, what I'd like to do is bring some of those people that kind of went above and beyond in to recognize them. So if you know someone, commissioners, that needed to be recognized in particular, if we could do that over the next few months, I'd really like to show the support for them that they've shown for this community going forward. So anybody that needs to be recognized in particular, let's keep that in mind going forward. Under proclamations and resolutions, we do have a plaque for Employee of the Month.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Morning. I'm Katie Miramon. I'm the Recognition Coordinator for the Employees Committee. Today we're going to be recognizing for the month of September, and for that, if I could have the first Assistant District Attorney, Mike Hawley, come up, please.
Judge, Commissioners, good morning. Very pleased to present this award to a young lady who doesn't know that she's receiving it. I've told her somebody else is receiving it, so this will be news to her. Darla Faulkner, would you please come forward?
And we do still allow 15 minutes for her speech. She'd like to do that. No.
One up, darling. Judge, I was thinking about your comment that you cry sometimes when somebody wins on The Price is Right at this point. I'm a little bit like that now, especially with my folks. So, Darla Faulkner is a chief prosecutor, which means she's prosecuted everything from speeding tickets to multiple murders, and she does it in an excellent fashion. She cares more about victims than just anybody I know, and that's saying a lot with the office that we have. Our heart, though, is to serve, and right now she's in charge of intake. She is responsible for 17 employees of the county, and she's made that department as efficient as it can be, just done amazing things. But what she wants to do, most of all, is to serve people. She serves this law enforcement community in our county, which I'm convinced is as good as any in the state of Texas. When law enforcement comes in, Darla's heart is to say, what can I do for you? How can I encourage you? How can I help you do what you need to do to get where you want to go? She helps our prosecutors by getting them the information they need because she cares about the victims that they're advocating for. She also cares about the individuals charged with crimes in this county because they are still citizens of this county, and she wants to make sure their attorneys get the information they need. And she cares about this county. Generally, I just want to tell you one thing, and I could say a lot about Darla Faulkner, but about a year and a half ago, she got the vision to take our department to a paperless system. And so she traveled to other counties, she did the research, she started solving the hard problems, and her goal was to make us as efficient as possible, to take care of victims of crimes in this county, to make sure public safety is met, but also do it in the smartest way, a way that saves money for the county, that saves time for our employees, and gets to justice, which is what she's all about. So, again, I could say many things about this young lady, but Employee of the Month, absolutely. In my mind, she's Employee of the Year for the Department of our District Attorney's Office. So very pleased to present
Thank
this
you.
Award. So
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
Mike. Under 8A, Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from a regular session dated August 22nd.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 8B, consider and approve Commissioners' Court minutes of public hearing dated August 22nd, 2017.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, I have no changes on consent unless there's an item that any of you would like to bring forward.
Move on consent.
Second.
Any questions or comments there? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Commissioners, we've got some representatives here from Crowder Golf. I'd like to go ahead and move that item forward on the agenda if that's okay with y'all so they can get back out on the roads. They got a lot to do out there, so that would be item 11.
Excuse. We need to move on the agenda. We haven't done that yet.
Oh, did I skip that one?
Yeah.
Need a motion to approve our court agenda, Commissioners.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Item 12A, under emergency management. Darren, if you will. Got a lot of items we want to talk about here. First one is the Crowder Golf contract, and Darren, you want to talk a little bit about that and introduce our guests that are with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Judge. Commissioners, good morning. As you recall, on September 1, we held a special session and enacted our debris management contract with Crowder Golf. At that point in time, they started convening and calling in resources as they could get them. One of the things that I want to point out before we get too far into it is that everyone knows how significant Hurricane Harvey was to Montgomery County. What we sometimes lose sight of is how significant it was to the state of Texas. All told, some 36,261 square miles of our state were affected by Hurricane Harvey at one time.
Wow.
In addition to that, you have Hurricane Irma, who hit Florida, which is drastically capping the resources that are available to help us in the management of our debris and debris pickup. So that being said, things have moved a little slow in getting some trucks in, but we're making some changes to our plan, to our debris management plan. We had a meeting last night that went to about 9 o'clock where we revamped what we were doing, reorganized, and I think we're making a strong step forward. I'd like to bring up at this time representatives from Crowder, Lyman Ramsey and Brian, who can kind of tell you a little bit about what our plan is moving forward.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Lyman Ramsey, Vice President with Crowder Golf. Our family owns the business. I came out last week to see what was going on, and by Thursday I was very disappointed, and I made a decision that we were going to bring company assets of our own people who we knew would be here. I've never seen the level of greed and deceit and lies that have been told in the last week in this state by people, but we're making a change. We have more trucks running today than we did yesterday in every precinct, and our focus is to continue to bring the people to the table that will get it done. We, with the change in the plans that Darren has made, because of the long haul, I don't want to talk about reasons that things haven't worked. I'm going to tell you about what's going to work now. With the plans you've made for the temporary sites, people are rushing to the job. I'm taking locals first that can show up first. I've contacted Mr. John Manfrey, a local contractor that's information was forwarded to me yesterday. He will be meeting me right after this meeting. He's a gentleman that speaks just like I speak, and I want to put him to work as soon as possible. Another local resource will be starting, we hope, tomorrow. Brian has been coordinating with some others, and I have my own people, own operators, and own people coming in here to make sure that we live up to the contract we have with you, and I cannot apologize enough. I understand everybody's frustration. I'm as embarrassed and disappointed with it as I could be, and it has my family's name on it, and I'm here until it's done. There's going to be ups and downs every day, I promise you. I don't want to tell you I have this many trucks coming today or that many tomorrow, because we're moving a lot of people with the way we change the scope of this project and the way we do things. There's resources that can come in and be very effective with removal. That's what we're doing. I'll be glad to answer any questions. Brian has the specifics. Brian's our senior project manager for this different projects in these areas. He was brought in yesterday and has made great progress in organizing ourselves. And fire away.
Were you able to get that second site in Precinct 4, Commissioner, set up?
We're just awaiting your signature, but it is approved.
It's on here today?
Right.
Okay,
yes,
good.
How has the plan changed from when we started to what we're fixing to do right now? How has the plan changed?
We went from a 30-mile haul. Tell me if I'm wrong. What was the furthest haul we had?
That's correct. What we did is, instead of everything going to the security landfill, we're starting to utilize the sites that a lot of the community is already using to store this debris. That way, we can get a lot of the debris off the roads faster. Obviously, if a truck can go less miles, they can get more loads per day. We're working 7 days a week, sun up to sun down, but we're looking to do 3 sites at this point. That should significantly improve the numbers and the progress in each neighborhood. On top of doing that, you know, we're adding as many assets as we can. So any locals, I mean, anybody that y'all know that would be interested, I know I spoke to a few of y'all outside already. We'll see about getting you hired and set up. And, you know, I mean, we're open to utilize any of you. I mean, y'all have a vested interest in this community. Y'all know these roads better than anybody, and the neighborhoods and the impacted areas. Honestly, it's in our benefit to use y'all, and we're happy to do that. And, you know, having the site set up to get the debris off the roads quicker and then add more assets to get more debris off, that's our goal. Right now, we have a presence in every precinct, and we're going to add to those as we bring in these resources. you know, there is a little bit more than just jumping in and going to work. You know, priorities is human safety and health, but typically the second priority is the funding. So we have to do all this in accordance with all the FEMA procedures and policies. So we're teamed up with a company here that's also contracted with the county, Tetra Tech, and they monitor and document everything we do. So there's a few other steps than just jumping out in the streets and working, but we're happy to educate you on that and work with you as much as possible.
At least a 40-yard trailer.
Well, I think one of the decisions you've made, sounds like it's really going to speed it up, is to take it to the sites.
Yes, absolutely.
Because
you will see.
I understand the haul. It's a long way, especially my precinct.
In
South County, it's hard to get there. It's hard to get back. I think it's going to really speed it up to use the sites to get it off the street, and then we can deal with it at that time. But I think it's a good idea.
Yes, sir. And I should add that you know, this is a volume-based industry. We're performance, you know, contractors. You know, if we don't perform, you know, then
not getting paid.
We're not doing our job. You know, none of us are hourly. We don't get paid to hang out and not work. You know, we are performance based, and the harder we work and the harder that our crews work, you know, the more productive we are for you and the more advantageous it is for any locals that join in our team. So having that shorter distance also makes it more beneficial to the crews and the trucks, where they can produce more volume and in turn generate higher revenue.
And we're totally reshifting our people from, there's a total new set of equipment that can be very, very effective, and that's what we're bringing in here. We're stressing to anybody that wants to work, the ideal container that they transport the debris from the right-of-way to the dump site, try to be as close to 40 cubic yards as possible. That's what we're telling everybody, and they anybody tell that, they understand it because of a productivity point, turning so many loads an hour.
Bigger the better, yeah. Obviously, more volume. So
once you get to the site, you're crushing it at that point then, aren't you, and then taking it to the landfill from there?
Yes, sir. The benefit of the site is getting it off quick. And when it's at that site, you know, obviously the residents aren't worried about that specific site. But
good.
I should also add that any equipment you utilize to load these vehicles, these trucks or these dump trailers that you have, it's good to be rubber tracked, or rubber tire loaders. You know, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of steel-tracked equipment, and that will destroy the roads, and obviously we're responsible for that damage. So, you know, rubber tire equipment or rubber tracks is preferred.
Can you give us a little better idea of when we're going to see more trucks in activity? I have one truck from your company in Precinct 3, and it clearly is underperforming your contract. And yes, the patience of this community is being tested. Mm-hmm. My men have been working 7 to 7, and women, for how many weeks now? Doing your job, and that's really frustrating. So I want to know when you're going to bring assets and deploy them in this community. No more talking. When are you going to do it?
Right, and we don't want to make false promises, obviously, which may or may not have happened. There's been a few things.
Now. That's it, now. I don't want to get specifics of numbers and this and that, but I'm doing it now. That's the answer. I'm heading out to the dump site, stay there until I make sure trucks are coming myself.
So should the commissioners contact Brian for priorities where they need the trucks,
Brian,
when they,
yes,
get here and assets in place?
Absolutely. But Darren has a Texas line of mine that I've established that I would prefer for any client of ours that's the actual stakeholder to call me on that phone. I will share that with Darren. If anybody has a question, they just call that phone or text. Just, you can't get me, please just put a text on it who you are, and I will return it. My other phone is, you know, blowing up from people who wouldn't work for us that are wanting to come and work, that I'm just not going to talk to them if they want.
Darren, are you going to coordinate getting these guys into these private subdivisions, or how do we do that?
So currently, Commissioner, FEMA does not allow us to enter into gated communities or take care of private roads. It is my understanding that we will see guidance within the next 24 to 48 hours changing that stance.
Okay.
But we haven't seen it yet. Once that occurs, then we can push out some interlocals with each of those areas, you know, hold harmless contracts, and then we can get the crews into those areas as well.
So as of right now, we're not going into private gated subdivisions.
That's correct.
Darren, I've got a temporary site over in Wood Forest that I'm ready to get picked up now.
Yes, sir.
And whatever's left in Wood Forest, I can deal with, but I need that site picked up.
That's correct. That site was identified last night, and our office will continue to meet with the contractor every day to ensure that we have ample trucks going out to all points of the county. And then I think each of you have established a point of contact that their lead guys on the grounds will be contacting and discussing your hot spots, and that's where the direct activity. So we're going to try and do an overall management, and then we're going to let your guys and these guys do the actual tactical operation, so to speak, on the ground and get that stuff picked up.
Okay. And Darren, again, so Crowder will pick up at all of the, we'll have three sites in Precinct 3, and they will end up picking up from all three of those sites at the end.
That's correct.
And you do have some gentlemen that are already hauling away the debris that we have placed ourselves. So you have one truck out in the community, and then you have another truck taking the debris that we picked up to the landfill. And while we're talking about debris pickup, Mike, Commissioner Metter, I want to thank you and Precinct 1 so much. They sent three dump trucks, a great all, and six men down to Precinct 3 Saturday and Sunday to help get us cleaned up. And that's a
no problem.
Heartfelt.
Good. Glad to help.
One other thing at the 242 and 1314 site, we're not limited to that footprint. That TxDOT, we can open that up. So if we're, I know that's going to be a kind of a primary site. It's going to be a good dump off point. If we need that, just let me know and I'll get with TxDOT and we'll expand that site.
Yes, sir.
Was that one you were able to locate close enough to River Plantation, or are you going to use the sites in
that
River
site
Plantation?
It's
a good one.
The size right good now is
it cuts the
halfway.
Cuts the turnaround in half.
Half, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great site.
Good.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions, Commissioners?
I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah, glad to see you guys.
I'm glad to be here.
Ramsey, thank you.
Can I go to work?
Go to work.
Please.
Go to work.
Go to work. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Darren, while you're there, why don't we go ahead and run through the rest of our stuff on emergency management here.
Okay. I just have one more thing in regards to debris management, if I can, Judge. I have, as part of our overall plan, we do need to make some adjustment to our current contract with Crowder, and so we're making a slight modification to that pricing schedule, both per cubic yard and as far as the DMS sites, the management of those DMS sites. I need you guys to approve. And then we're also going to make a change to another contract that we currently have with the county for roll-offs. through Sprint-based services that will allow us to utilize those services if the commissioners wish to utilize
for
those
sure.
services. Those rates are slightly increased, but, I mean, they're set for debris, for disaster debris now, so.
And we've got FEMA approval to fund
those, all those costs. We have FEMA approval on both of those,
okay.
Both of those rate adjustments, that's correct.
Darren, can you, I don't know that everyone understands the issue that we've had with securing trucks and the really bidding war that opened up because of our friends down south that decided to pay almost twice as much as we were paying. So there are counties down south that have several hundred trucks picking up debris because they're being paid twice as much as our contract was for. And that's part of the greed and deceit that Crowder was mentioning earlier is every day I'd be told, I've got six trucks coming. Well, by the time they got down to South County, they could drive across the county line and make twice as much per load.
That's correct. We have actually certified several trucks and put them out into the precincts and have them show up on site and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go south. And so, I mean, that has been a huge stumbling block for us in our operations up here.
And I'd much rather hold our rates as close as we can and not have to have a 9% tax increase to take care of our community.
Absolutely.
That's correct. That's correct. We've actually kept them low enough now that FEMA's looked at them and said that's fine and we can run with what we're going. There wasn't any pushback at all from them. So.
Good. Good work, Darren. Okay.
Darren,
so do you need a resolution in order, Amy, to approve those contracts, or is that something that Gilbert can do? And commissioners would entertain a motion to approve the Crowder Gulf increase and the Sprint contract as well.
Absolutely. And Sprint's been willing to work. I'm glad they've worked this out. They're a fairly new vendor to the county. And if they can bring those dumpsters in, get them set up, just the quicker we can get this hauled off.
Yeah.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Amy, as far as extending the disaster declaration, we're good until our next commissioner's court meeting right now.
Yes, we did it on September 1st for 30 days, so it's through September 30th. Anticipate that we might need to extend into October. That would be consistent with where the state and the federal government disaster declaration, I mean, it's still ongoing. We're covered, but at the next court, I'll probably be bringing another extension back to you.
Okay. Commissioners, there's been conversation about reappraisals for people that have been flood damaged. I have a little bit of a hard time sending somebody a full tax bill for a house that's now unusable.
Yep.
So we'd like to get the appraisal district to go back, reappraise those homes, get at least for this year, give them a reduction in their at least their county taxes.
I think we need to do whatever action we need to take to make that happen.
I think that's going to give us a much, much more accurate assessment of exactly what the damage
is. Right. So, Amy, do you have a resolution in order prepared
for that? I do. I have a resolution in order authorizing the Montgomery County Appraisal District to reappraise the property within Montgomery County that was damaged by Hurricane Harvey, and then to prorate the taxes of such damage and reappraise property for tax year 2017. And it kind of spells out and it tracks Section 23.02 of the Texas Tax Code that allows for it.
And the appraisal district's willing to do those reappraisals?
Yes.
At their cost?
Yes.
Okay,
do we need to provide a list of damaged homes? I have that.
I know the appraisal district does have crews out driving the streets at this point in time, much like what we're doing to try and get a true number.
If they need it, we have it by address.
Judge, we had some recent communication from the appraisal district that given the nature of some of the activity they're going to have to bring online, in addition to just their appraisers out there looking right now, that there may be some charges associated with it. So either we may have to come back and modify the resolution order.
We can amend.
We can amend. So, okay. But there probably will
there
be
may be some
charge.
Cost associated with. Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
And actually, I have a resolution. I have one that actually talks about sharing costs. So I'll go ahead and give you that, but it talks about the cost being apportioned by all appraisal district entities who are seeking that. So if it's not just the county,
and authorized,
I have two of them. I have one saying that the appraisal district isn't going to charge us, and one saying that we are going to pay a portion of the cost.
Do you need action on that today, or do we need to wait and see whether entities participate?
We can wait and see what they're going to do.
Okay.
And that's, the local government code spells that out, correct?
It's the tax code.
The taxing entities will be...
Yeah, it's the tax code 23.02 that talks about the governing body of a taxing entity that is located partly or entirely inside an area declared to be a disaster, may authorize reappraisal of the property damaged in the disaster and its market value immediately after the disaster.
And I'm assuming those pro rata shares would be the same as we pay to fund the appraisal district now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
good.
Only if they participate.
If they participate, correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that was clear.
Aerial spraying. I know we've been contacted by the state. They plan to do some aerial spraying. We need to make sure we get people notified, especially the beekeepers and those others.
On this initiative for this disaster, the state has taken on the full burden of the spraying and the costs associated, so we won't have to seek reimbursement. We're not having to find a vendor or put out bids. The state is doing it themselves. We've been in communication with them, a couple of conference calls. Justin and Charles out of Precinct 3 have been kind of heading that up for us and leading the charge. Our office and Precinct 3 have pushed out one series of press releases. As soon as we have dates established, we'll push out that second of when to expect it and what to expect. You'll see some rather large aircraft flying over the county at low heights when they do their spraying.
Judge, while we're talking about the aerial spraying, the state asked if we would continue our trapping and testing after the first spray. So, commissioners, if y'all don't mind, if you see some Precinct 3 trucks in the area, they're just trapping and testing mosquitoes because the state wants us to report data back to them so they can make a decision on if they need a second round of spraying or not. So.
Okay.
Good. You're working with the Extension Office to notify the...
That's correct. Mike Heimer in the Extension Office has already pushed out one notification to both our organic farmers and the bee population, and they're aware of it.
We have our very own beekeeper right here.
Here. We do.
Yeah.
You can help, right?
Okay. So as we get more information, we'll get some more press releases out to let people know what's going on there.
That's correct.
FEMA locations. I know we have one in Magnolia.
That's correct. Right, we've actually requested three for Montgomery County. These are known as DRCs, Disaster Recovery Centers. The importance of these, we like to see them as early as we can in the community, but the real importance of these comes after our citizens have actually had a FEMA inspection and they receive that approval or denial letter from FEMA. That's when these are significantly important, so someone has a place to go. They can actually talk to somebody from FEMA. They are a little slow to spin up because, we're talking about 36,000 square miles and FEMA's resources are tapped. They're trying to create some big centers. They're trying to create some mobile centers. But they also have the ones we're typically familiar with seeing, which is the ones that we have in Magnolia. We've also asked for one centrally located. We've asked for one on the east side as well.
Okay. Any questions there, commissioners? Reporting and documentation. If any departments have storm-related damage, work with HR on personnel and time cards. If you have personnel that work during those times, work with the auditor's office on the proper forms to fill out to make sure that we get reimbursement, the maximum reimbursement that we can from FEMA. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask, and we'll try to make sure we get all that documentation put together.
We need to see any property damage that the county has received. We need to see those numbers in our office to add to our summary outline that we submit to the state.
I've had a question about the DSNAP program.
I think that's a relatively new program through the Health and Human Services. They just announced it to us yesterday, so we're in contact with them. We're going to try and set up a center here in Montgomery County that would cover three counties. And basically that's to provide nutritional meals, hot meals, to those that need it moving forward. So that's we're trying to work on.
Did you say D-SNAP?
D-SNAP. Yeah.
Aaron, do we have any idea when the mosquito spraying will begin?
It was originally slated for this week. There was some USDA hurdles that they had to overcome. They've overcome those now, but I don't know what the new timeline is.
Okay.
Darren, do you have one of the questions that I've been asked, and that's why I was asking, DSNAP or DSNAG? I've been asked about what resources the county is going to be able to muster, or through the Army Corps of Engineers, or who is going to take the lead and responsibility on DSNAGing so many creeks. Of our creeks and watersheds. Yeah. The county, we can't just go in and do it. You have to have Corps approval. It's real complicated. But I can tell you, we have taken an initial assessment of some of ours in Precinct 3, and there's legitimate concerns with the number of trees and the amount of debris that's blocking these drainage issues.
Those were some conversations we're starting to have with the Army Corps. I think they're still trying to get their hands wrapped around the amount of debris that's on the streets and if they need to enact those contracts right now. But those conversations are beginning to amass. I know in the past there's been some federal assistance dollars through some of the CDBG programs that could be used for that. But again, it runs into the legality of putting county equipment on private property. So there's lots of hurdles to overcome, but those discussions are starting to happen.
Okay. Thank you.
I know at one point there was a review of the San Jacinto River, and from, I think from I-45 to Lake Houston, the price tag was like $1.5 billion. I mean, it's a big number.
Yeah, it's enormous.
Right. And while we're talking about disaster relief and recovery, do you have, are we going to be looking for programs in which we can offer to residents buyouts again? I mean, I've only been a commissioner 4.5 years, and I've seen the same homes flood 3 or 4 times, and it's unfortunate for them. It's not a good use of taxpayer dollars. I know in the past there have been some 90-10 opportunities. There's been 100%. There's been 75-25, but I know I'd like to see us try to take a proactive measure in getting some of these repetitive flood properties bought out.
Correct. So that we're about to enact our contract with Tetra, or expand the contract we currently have with Tetra to start their substantial damage assessments, which, if you remember, we did that last May. That's part as a requirement for us through the National Flood Insurance Program. The data that's collected there will help us with the buyout programs moving forward. We have spoken with a couple of congressmen. They are earmarking several billion dollars to roll out into the communities that are affected for those types of programs. We're going to try and capture as many as we can. We still have two of them that are pending that are still in process from last year that still haven't, those programs haven't commenced yet, but we will continue to actively seek those.
I don't know if it's your office or if the county attorney's office can help, but could someone put together some guidelines? Because I know I'm being asked, you know, what does it take? How many times can a home be flooded and be receive, you know, flood insurance or FEMA assistance? I hear it's 3 times or 4 times. I mean, some of these homes have been flooding since they've been built.
Yeah, right. Many, many times. Yeah,
we can push that out to the public. Again, this is just one of those mandates that's kind of hard for us to continually stay on top of as a county because it's so taxing to us with manpower and keeping track of everything that's going on, growth and rapid growth and stuff. But we will push that information out and help the public.
But you can't force a buyout, can you?
No.
You can offer it.
Can you use eminent domain for that?
I think some buyouts have been offered years ago, and
some people.
I know y'all did that actively after 1994.
They don't want to be bought out.
331 houses in 1990.
The big question is the people that are in limbo right now. Do we rebuild or don't we rebuild? They don't want to.
That's part of that substantial damage. That's why we're pushing those out a little bit faster than what we did before, because we are.
That's the main question needs to be answered. Is what the options are and. In a projected timeline.
Yeah. Well, and Commissioner, that you bring up a good point. Under the floodplain regulations and National Flood Insurance Program, people are not allowed to rebuild or properly rebuild unless if they are substantially damaged, and that is 50% or more of the pre-flood market value, and that's determination. And for anything in the floodplain, anything in flood management, flood zones, and actually our floodplain regulation says really anything in the unincorporated areas, you should come and attempt and get a building permit, so to speak, a development permit. And in this course, you will have to show, the landowner will have to show that their structure was not substantially damaged. If it's not substantially damaged, the development permit will be issued and they can rebuild. If it is substantially damaged, then they must either elevate to 1 foot above the base flood elevation, or they cannot rebuild. If they rebuild and don't get, if they're substantially damaged and rebuild and don't get it, then what could very well happen down the line is that property could lose its eligibility for flood insurance and disaster relief. So it's very important for people to understand that if they have been flooded, have been damaged before they rebuild, they need to go through this process of determining whether they're substantially damaged or not. And that's certainly for the areas, in the unincorporated areas.
Is that information being given to people when they go online and apply for a FEMA, when they make their application with FEMA for assistance?
I don't think it's given to them at that point in time, no, sir. It's typically during the home purchase and when there's the talk, whether they determine if they're in a flood area or not, that's when they're generally educated about the flood insurance program and whether or not they're required to.
We need to get that information out sooner, though. I can promise you right now, we've got people trying to put stuff back together already.
Oh, I know.
Right, and we've got organizations.
Trying to rebuild now.
Organizations like the Mormons, Methodist Men, Baptist Men, East Texas Dream Center, they're just out there. They've went in and ripped this stuff out, and they're putting people's lives back together like nothing happened. So, I mean, I understand the 50% threshold, but...
Well, there's a distinction between removing damaged property and getting it ready to be rebuilt and actually going and rebuilding it.
Well, some of them are actually...
There's no issue with going and cutting out the sheetrock and things such as that. But before you restore that property, especially if you're in a floodplain, then you should go through the application process and show that you're not substantially damaged. And frankly, I think in the May floods, most houses were not substantially damaged based on the market value of the property, so it was fine. But FEMA also uses that information to determine what the size and scope of any buyout.
Yeah, and I think the 50% threshold is really, that's not the norm. I mean, well, a lot of these homes, I can't speak, but, you know, a lot of them were totally damaged, you know, 90 or 100%. But, you know, some of the ones I'm talking about are well below, just got 2 feet of sheetrock or got a foot of water, and they just went in and
It is still important, though, if those properties are in a special flood hazard, in other words, the floodplain,
right,
that they come and make the application. And if they show they're not substantially damaged, that application will be issued almost immediately. And that preserves their right and that property's right to receive flood insurance in the future, continued flood insurance coverage, and or disaster assistance.
We need some type of press release or something with the right documentation we can get out to these folks so they can...
Yeah, are we putting that out anywhere right now?
We'll start putting that out.
Thank you. You had the question, could we use eminent domain? In a broad sense, we could, based upon public safety, but you'd have to look at each area individually and determine if there's public necessity and public purpose for it.
Well, the other thing is going to be finding out whether there's funding for it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does a disaster this size increase the attention that's placed on it and the potential for funding, or does it wipe out the funding to a point where you can almost forget a buyout program?
I think it's increased it from what I've heard so far. Some of the numbers that I'm hearing coming out of Washington, it's a significant increase. Over
They're
going to
put some more money into the program, okay.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of people want to participate in the buyout program.
I think so,
I
too,
promise.
Commissioner.
Yeah, and these
going to be a whole lot more we've ever
the
seen.
The information that we're going to gather from these assessments is going to be crucial because even though this amount of funding coming down the pike from Washington is going to be greater, the people that we're in competition with is also going to be greater.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not a fast process. I mean, we're not finished from the May floods. We haven't even offered.
That's correct.
All right.
All right.
Okay. I have one question about permitting that I want to ask you. Is this going to be handled the way that it was last year? I mean, the contractors were not supposed to. The only ones that we've seen last year were the ones that were substantially damaged. You know, that went through Dan and then with are we kind of the same process?
We're going to have a meeting on that Wednesday and discuss how the process is going to roll with this one.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, sorry. Any other thoughts on that?
Not on flood insurance, no, sir. I'm good.
Amy, anything else we need to cover on disaster recovery?
Thank you. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, guys.
Darren,
thanks for the job y'all been doing, you and your staff.
All right, thanks, sir.
Good job, Darren.
Thank you, Darren.
All right, let's go back to item 10, citizens' comment. If there's anyone that has signed up today to speak or would like to talk about an item that's on today's agenda, now would be the time to do that. We will now invite the public to address our court on any items on today's agenda. Please state your name, topic, and comment before making your remarks. The public's comments may not exceed 3 minutes. It's not the intention of the Montgomery County Commissioners Court to provide a public forum for the demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intention of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty and or integrity of the court as a body or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane, insulting, or threatening language directed to the court or members of the court will not be tolerated. If this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and or removal from the commissioner's courtroom. Texas open meetings law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. So I know we have one person that signed up to speak, and that was Mr. Yalick.
Thank you, Judge, Commissioners. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. Before I do the golden hammer, I want to mention one thing about Item 12A that we just talked about. President Trump, actually, in his remarks when he came to Houston the second time, and also actually representatives from the IRS, have noted that when it really comes to property values, every single home in the San Jacinto River watershed has lost significant property value because of the threat of potential flooding. Obviously, homes that actually were flooded have had far more property damage and property appraisal damage. But I hope that Commissioner Riley and Commissioner Metter, as board members of the appraisal district, will utilize Section 23.02 that Ms. Dunham mentioned and order the appraisal district to reappraise every single home in Montgomery County, because we've all lost property value as a result of what happened. I'll be really brief about the golden hammer. Agenda items 9A, 3, 13A, and 14A are what this pertains to. During the budget hearing on August the 8th, Assistant County Attorney B.D. Griffin advised you that you can't pull money from the county auditor's budget without the approval of the Board of District Judges, and that was one of the rationales for y'all spending $287,000 on a budget office that has no purpose and no goal. The reason that I'm giving the golden hammer to the four members of the Commissioner's Court today who voted for the budget last week is that was your rationale, but yet today you actually have already approved a budget amendment under item 9A3 that actually pulls money out of the county auditor's budget and moves it to another department. Now, I understand that you thought you were relying upon Mr. Griffin's legal advice, but the problem is that what's happening to taxpayers in this county is that we're seeing all these placeholders within the budget. Items like all these carryovers that you're doing under items 13A, 14A, and elsewhere within the budget are literally costing the taxpayers millions of dollars in funds that you're not even spending each year. In fact, I went through and I did a calculation, and y'all could have done a 2-cent tax rate decrease just with those carryovers alone. For that, gentlemen, you receive the golden hammer of today. Congratulations.
All right. Is there anyone that would like to address the court on an item that's on today's agenda that didn't know the sign-up process? Yes, sir.
They call me Flash. My name is John Webb. I'm a 17-year veteran in the Marine Corps, 5 tours in Iraq. I've seen service. And I'll tell you, over this last week, I've seen a community, Montgomery County, come together in a very positive way. Where I live in Wood Forest, and I've got some great neighbors. They came together to help 21 families after they had been flooded, mocked every one of those houses within 48 hours. And the reason I stand up here today is I want to tell thanks to Charlie Riley. If it wasn't for his help, we wouldn't have been able to move all the debris off of those small roads into a temporary location. And those roads would have been clogged up. Those families that have been devastated, different ages, some are retirees, some are young families. But those families that had just been devastated now no longer have to see that debris sitting on that street. Where we could do as a community to help get those homes ready to be repaired, help feed them, our government took action. And, sir, I commend you, and I want to tell you thank you. It means
thank
a lot
you.
To all of us.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
My name is Eric Carter. I'm an attorney that's working on a matter relating to some property that is the subject of your agenda item 19B this morning.
I think we're going to have a public hearing on that one.
Yeah, you'll be able to speak.
You'll be able to speak in that public hearing.
What I wanted to do is tell you that I had met with your county attorney, and we resolved the matter, and so that
you'd
be aware of that.
Okay.
We understand your action is purely ministerial, and we don't have a problem with the court going forward and doing what it needs to do.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
Lincoln, Mayor Lincoln.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Diane Lincoln. I'm the mayor for the town of Woodlock, and because you told me I can't be mean and nasty, I left my speech behind. I've gone through this now twice. 1994 was my first flood, and just like before, my office, my city hall, is now my bedroom. I used to be the mayor of a really nice little town. Now I'm totally devastated. I've got to say that Darren Hess is okay as an EOC director, but he needs more staff. You know, he needs double the staff. I'm telling you all that right now. He is overwhelmed. I am driving my own car. I am paying for things out of my own bank account because I am the only one. I have no staff, no office, no nothing. You know, I've had very little response. Commissioner Clark said he's been in my town. I probably haven't seen him because I've been at Walmart or Home Depot or Lowe's to get stuff. I'm wearing a bracelet because I just spent three wonderful days in St. Luke's. I can't take this again. I'm telling you all that the San Jacinto River Authority, I defended them for 23 years about the release in 94. They did not do a pre-release like the people at Lake Houston and Lake Livingston and because of protocol. I don't give a rat's behind about their protocol. I had a lot of people that fortunately I got out on Friday because I know my people. I care about my people, and I got them out. I have their sons and their daughter's phone in my phone, and I called them and got them out. I have three other subdivisions that are in my service area that I'm not really responsible for, but I've got almost 1,000 people that could have died. You know, and I'm sorry, Mr. Hess, but I don't have a 3:30 phone call from you. I was on the phone at 3:30 with my neighbor letting me know that the release had gone up to 79,000 gallons. At 36,000 CFS, I can survive. I only had 1 inch of water in the house. At 79,000, if it happens again, Woodlock is gone. The people in Wood Hollow, they don't need to rebuild because they will die. The people in River Oaks, they don't need to rebuild because they will die, and so will River Ridge. So will Woodlock. We will all die because the people in the allowance of development in the Montgomery Creek Ranch is more like a levee. When you go up to North and South Woodlock, all you look at is 10 feet of ground. The folks in those three subdivisions in Woodlock, we are now in a raging lake. Something has got to be done by the allowance of SJRA being able to open up those gates anytime they want at anything they want, and I was not notified. Thank God I got some of my elderly people out. The other thing I want to comment on is you have hotels in Montgomery County that are kicking people out because they have FEMA vouchers. How do I know this? I was one of them. Because I got a FEMA voucher, I was kicked out of the Days Inn in Shenandoah. Now I have three elderly families, and I know I'm over my 3 minutes. I have three elderly families that are right down here at the Fairfield Inn that I am arranging to move into other people in my neighborhood, in my town, because they're being kicked out because they have FEMA vouchers. You know, and fortunately, my neighbor is taking in one of them because she is 68. Her daddy is 88. She's moving next door to me.
Mayor, now, thank you. We'll see what we can do with that. We'll talk to FEMA.
But I think that's ridiculous. But anyway, I want to thank you all. But Director Hess, he needs more people. He needs more people. And I've called everybody. My next call's to the White House. I already got it in my phone.
Thank you for your
comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you all.
I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right. Is there anyone else?
One.
Go ahead, Bill.
Two short topics today. Bill O'Sullivan, Woodlands, Texas. First is the SJRA. There's big problems there.
Bill, this is items on today's agenda.
Huh?
These are for items that are on today's agenda.
Well, I thought we were talking about emergency management.
Go ahead.
Okay, and as the young lady before me spoke about the release and everything else. Now, Senator Creighton has called for investigation, and I think we'd be wise to lend our support to that investigation because of the things that are going on, not only there, but with the water supply. Second thing, the payment of salaried employees overtime, I'm against it, and simply speaking, that in when I wrote it in the paper, I talked about Kaysan in 68, that guys up on the hills up there were taking 1,500 rounds of artillery a day, and meanwhile, people in air-conditioned offices were getting paid the same $95 a month. Salaried employees are salaried, and that's what they should receive. And through my whole life, I was salaried, and it's just what you get paid for what you do. I mean, if you want to give them comp time afterwards, that's fine. But paying them time and a half for them doing their jobs when their salary it just isn't right. The third thing is the carryover funds. I think there should be limitations on carryover funds, some sort of emergency situation or declared emergency situation for carryover funds because you couldn't finish a project. I think that's fine, but it seems to be at this time of the year, we don't get the budget reduced and people don't get the benefit of not having spent the money during the given year. And the last thing, in emergency management, this is from my wife. She was up 10 hours a day up at the fairgrounds working on the abandoned pets, etc. And whoever is responsible for putting latches on the ladies' restroom stall doors, it would appreciate it if they go by, inspect, and install them. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, sir.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning,
ladies. My name is Nogji Wind. I've been working with the River Oaks community. I've talked to Commissioner Clark. You guys didn't warn before this even happened. They had no warning. And then they asked even prior to this, they have a pump that works there to be fixed, and it wasn't. The fire department didn't even bring a pump. So when they went to evacuate River Oaks, they couldn't even get out of the street. Now you're using words like intimate domain to these families that can barely afford what they have left. We've already started helping some of them rebuild. And you want to come in and take what they have or offer them a price on something that's not even going to help them afford another area. FEMA finally came down yesterday with some clipboards and had no help to us at all. And they said that. They said, we're just taking names and address. Gave us yellow pamphlets that were in English. This community can't even read that. And I'm also going to ask the forms that they're coming up with next, will they please be put in Spanish? So the people that need them can read them. I have two semis, dump trucks, sitting right there on the block waiting to be used, but we couldn't even go dump it because they're considered commercial even though the resident has his ID that gives him that address. We did have permission, which is going to make it a lot easier to get that stuff off the street. I just need a front loader, guys. That's all I need. I'm from Oklahoma. You guys called me down here. The only reason why I'm even here right now, it's because y'all called us down here. I came with a couple recovery teams and wound up coming across the street just to help somebody turn their electric on. And while I'm there, three buses show up full of kids. And they're having to get off and go over this debris. And they have no idea how contaminated it is, but I know the highway patrol, the sheriff, the constables who I worked with know how contaminated this stuff is. And then they come outside and play in it like there's no, you know, because they don't know better. I just need a front loader. I have dump trucks. And I have, and I know everybody is stretched thin, you know, and I know we're not just a priority. There's other places, you know, but you do have help here at Red Oak. We do have volunteers.
Well, maybe you can get with Commissioner Clark after court and work with him.
As you heard today, we will have trucks this week. Absolutely.
Yeah. And as far as if that river had been drained 3 feet, gentlemen,
if they'd been told prior to that. This one, this wouldn't, this, their trailers were covered. The houses were covered. That river next to them will hold up 6 feet. You know, do those guys on that lake really care if their boats are floating or not? You know, the houses around that, they wind up losing their own property for not, I know it's for their water supply, and their, and that is important. We got, you know, you got to have fresh water to drink, but seriously, compared to flooding four blocks, that one block has 80 families on it. And all of them have children. They're sleeping in single tent. Is that my alarm?
Yes,
I'm sorry,
Mr.
guys.
Wynn. Thank you for coming. Get with Commissioner Clark.
I will, Your
Honor.
I also need to speak to you after this, if we can.
Okay. That's fine. Just stick around, and I'll get with you when we get there.
Thank you.
Same comments, ma'am?
No, she hasn't.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Eileen. I first came here to assist with the search and rescues. I've been primarily active in Houston, and I came here at the request of my friend Noguji. And honestly, one of my main issues is that there was no CDC testing of not only the floodwaters, but also the contaminated material and the soil. In Houston, I was in waters that was contaminated with E. coli, Hepe, tetanus, and staph. Now, contamination will change depending on many different kinds of variables, but it's essential for residents to understand what they're dealing with in the environment they and their children are living in. And what I'm not really hearing during this meeting is preventative measures at least being brought up that could have possibly saved so many losses, both in life and in material. And using the concept of eminent domain as the single solution to prevent the waste of taxpayer money when preventative measures would have been so much better. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure. And I believe that the dialogue should definitely start focusing on that more so, because you know, this flooding is not new to Texas. I'm from Michigan. I came here solely for the ability to help people in their time of need. And, you know, it's been difficult, obviously. But, and I understand that everyone here is doing their best with what they have. And it's hard to maneuver when there are roadblocks, both in red tape and just resources in the way. But I encourage everyone here to just don't put property value over human lives. Do what you can right now, please. It could have been much worse for this community, and I thank God that they didn't suffer the loss of life as some of the other areas that I've been in, but they're still suffering. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Eileen. Anyone else who would like to address court on an item that's on today's agenda? Okay. Moving forward, we'll go to item 11A.
Good morning. I'm here to ask you to consider and approve the 2018 sheriffs and constables fees in accordance with Texas Local Government Code Section 118.131. Please note that there are no changes in the fees from last year to this year.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. 13, building maintenance. Paul.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Asking you to consider approve the carryover of any unspent funds in account 510-7501 capital outlay buildings to FY18 budget.
Any idea how much that amount would be?
It has $40,828 in it.
Paul, can you tell us what the use of that will be for?
Yeah, we added an addition to the library in Willis. And we've got another phase that we have to go into the old part and put in an interior book drop and do some remodeling in there that we just
don't have. So it's a project that just wasn't able to be finished in 2017 budget year.
I run out of time before I could finish it.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Paul, just real quick, where are we at on roof leaks? Are we about to get...
We're going around, put patches on them. We've got stuff entered into a Gordian system to get a roofer out to come back around.
Okay.
Till I hear back from the roofer, I'm not real sure. I'm sure they got plenty to do, but that's just a process we're working
through.
Keep
up with them. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. IT, Mr. Shirley.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Item 14A, consider and approve the carry forward of funds in, I'm going to change the word all, and I'll explain that in a minute, but for 503 cost centers, for line items 7419, 7570, and 7572. For 7419, which is professional services, that is for cost center 50311 only, which is the financial systems cost center. There is a consultant under contract there, and then those funds will be used for additional services anticipated for the ERP contract.
And how much is that?
$372,370 is what's remaining in that.
$372,370.
Yes, okay. You've actually, I think, already approved the carry forward of the remaining financial services capital dollars previously. I believe the auditors have already done that. We wanted to remind you of that.
Is that all for the ERP?
That is all part of the ERP
it's
project.
It's all a planned carryover.
That will be carried forward.
Okay.
Then we have an e-citations project that's primarily in those line items as well. That's $1 million to $1.2 million project that we're working with purchasing right now. We actually anticipate that being on next court's agenda, that we'll get it contracted and encumbered in 2017. But in the event that we don't, it would be covered by this blanket approval as well.
Okay. I know for probably 3 or 4 years we've talked about e-citations, e-ticketing. It's been an ongoing process, kind of the same with the finance system. But I do think it would be a much better practice for us not to fund these projects year after year after year. We need to do a much better job of having funding available when the project is needed. If you're taking on too much or we're putting too much on you, you need to let us know, because I don't believe that over-budgeting these departments is good in the long run. So if there are projects that you're not going to be able to tackle, we need to know about it, pull it out of the budget, and put it in there when we need it.
Yes, sir. Last year we pulled the e-citations out of the budget at your request and put it back into this year. We're somewhat dependent upon our stakeholders as to when they're ready to move forward. But regardless, we do anticipate that contract to be on next court's agenda.
Okay.
We've been working on it for about a month and a half now.
I move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Purchasing, Gilbert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first item is to take all appropriate action to approve the following purchases. We have a vibratory tandem roller and a pneumatic roller totaling $203,956 through our buy board contract from RB Everett for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And the next item is one motor grader with a trade-in. The total after the trade-in is $255,948.90. That's through a buy board agreement with Mustang Cat, and that is for Precinct 4.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next item is to approve the award of project number 2017-0062. This is roadway and traffic signal intersection improvements on Harding Store Road and, is it Dobbin?
Dobbin.
Sorry. Huffsmith Road. Sir?
You'll figure it out.
I get it.
I move.
Second.
Just for the record, the contractor is 4D Construction, and the total bid price is $499,366.82.
You move, me?
Yeah, I move.
Second.
Your comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I'd like Rebecca to come up to talk about the grants in the next item.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Please take all appropriate action to approve the following FY18 Routine Airport Maintenance Program, the ramp grant for the airport. Authorize Judge Doyle to execute the same and designate the airport director as the county's authorized representative to receive correspondence and acquire approval and disapproval for the grant on behalf of the county.
Moved.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The second one is to approve the airport project participation agreement between Montgomery County and the Texas Department of Transportation Aviation Division for the 90% reimbursement of the design cost for the parallel taxiway project, TxDOT case 1712 Conroe.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And Phyllis, that's my money. I paid the design. They said they'd do 90% reimbursement of on letting of the contractor, and we're going to use part of that for that matching fund. I think it's $152,000.
And I did speak to James about this.
Yeah.
I did speak to James about the grant that you're talking about with the reimbursement from the state.
Okay.
That one will be on the next court.
Oh, it will? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Becca.
Thank you. James, is the airport kind of back to normal yet? You know, our airport, just for those of you that did not know, was the only airport in this entire region that was in service during Hurricane Harvey. And so we had all the military operations for this entire region based right here in Montgomery County. So, James, good job keeping that operation going. Thank you.
Yeah, good job, Jay. Yep.
County Attorney, mental health.
Anyone here from the mental health? Consider and accept the resignation of appointed advisory board member Jerry Nash, effective August 17th, 2017.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
On item C, consider and accept the nomination of Jimmy Beardhard as a candidate for membership to the advisory board.
What is that?
It's a candidate who was approved by the advisory board as another member. They're trying to fill vacancies, and so they're recommending these people, and they're bringing them to the court for approval.
Okay. Yeah,
it's item C.
Okay, Jimmy Beathard.
Skip B.
I skipped B.
Do we have a name there?
Yes, but on C, the name is Teresa Favre.
Okay, we've already done Jimmy Beathard. Has Jimmy Beathard already been approved?
No, that's the one I'm asking for right now.
Move.
A second.
C is Teresa Favre.
No, it's for to replace Teresa Favre.
Okay.
So Jimmy Beathard.
And with Jimmy Beathard. All right.
She went from A to C.
I went to A to C because the other one says replace two people, and then it's the way
one.
It was entered.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this nomination, the motion is to replace her.
It's for Jimmy Beathard. Yeah,
Boom.
Beardhard.
So we're actually replacing Jerry Nash.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We were replacing Jerry Nash with Jimmy Beathard.
I'm confused about this.
Amy,
okay, they have multiple.
This is not very well organized.
I understand, and that's why I asked for someone from the mental health treatment facility to be here for this morning.
So do we just
it doesn't really matter. We have two positions. We're just going to have to replace them both.
Right.
But I know
exactly. I was trying to.
We still have one vacancy.
We still have another vacancy.
Yeah. So we have a motion and a second to replace one position with Jimmy Beathard.
Second. Move. Second. Whatever.
We don't move.
Let's move on. Let's move on. 16A, B, and C.
Let's vote on something. We don't move three or four times.
We have a motion made by Commissioner Metter, seconded by Commissioner Riley, to to approve Jimmy Bethard for that position. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank God, the motion passed. You don't need any action on B?
And it just wants to consider and discuss and take appropriate action regarding vacancies. So if you have another name, we have another position to fill at this point for Jerry Nash.
Okay, all right.
All that to get somebody who just wants to help.
To move on that, is it just notification?
If you have a name, we can take it at this point. If you don't have a name, I can bring it back.
A name at a future court date.
Yep, okay.
Got it.
PD.
Yes.
Thank you.
By the way, you mentioned you thought somebody from mental health would be here. Jeff's tied up with, he couldn't make it.
I'm sure.
And he called me and told me that he wouldn't be here. And I didn't think it'd be necessary for him to be here. Anyway, we got through it. Thank you.
Item 17A, consider and take appropriate action on a request to abandon Wilson's Cove, formerly Flintlock Cove, in High Meadows Estate Section 1 to Robert R. Bear and Mary K. Bear. This is a cul-de-sac. They own all four lots around the cul-de-sac. Our engineering has no objection. I believe Precinct 2 has no objection.
We're good with it. I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item 17B, consider and approve interlocal agreement between Montgomery County, Texas and the Woodlands Township regarding Spring Creek Greenway.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, BD. We now need to recess our Commissioners' Court and convene a public hearing in Precinct 1 and 4. So, Commissioner Metter.
Consider and approve the partial revision of a 0.5464 acre tract of land situated at Timothy Coode Cemetery, Abstract 12, being all of lots 11 and 12 in Block 6 of Point Aquarius, Section 2, to be known as Blanca Replat Number 1. Do we have anybody here that would like to discuss that this morning? I don't believe we do, Judge.
Was that the one
yep.
the gentleman was talking about?
No, that's different.
That's
and yeah. just for your information, the purpose of this is to combine two lots into one lot. We do have a letter of no objection from the HOA.
Okay. Precinct 4.
Consider to approve the partial replat of 9.084 acres of land situated in the George Taylor Survey, Abstract 555, and the James McBridge Survey, Abstract 390, as being out of a partial restricted reserve block A, reserve A block 1 of the Woodlands Trade Center Section 6 to be known as the Woodlands Trade Center Section 11. Is anybody here to discuss that?
Yes,
I'm assuming.
Ma'am.
What were you planning on changing up there?
The purpose of the replat is to remove building setback lines that were in the initial reserve as platted by the Woodlands Corporation.
Right.
Do you want to build up, and are you going to add additional buildings in that area? My concern is continual development around this area with the subdivisions without
This is a replat of an existing commercial reserve. The Woodlands Corporation, or Development Corporation, I believe has sold it. I believe it's to the Volkswagen or the Mercedes-Benz dealership that is an adjoining property. I don't believe they have submitted any drainage plans or building plans at this time. I do not know what the ultimate purpose is, if it's for expansion of the parking lot or expansion of building or what.
We'll have to meet county engineering standards and for the runoff of the adequate detention.
They will have to comply with county regulations.
Right.
But this is just moving a building setback line? That's what this plat?
Yes. When the reserve was initially platted, the county does not require building setbacks. But the Woodlands Corporation, when they initially platted this reserve as part of the trade center, had some setback lines. They have sold this property to, I believe, the car dealership adjoining to it, and they want those setback lines removed. So that's the purpose of the replat. All it's doing is removing the platted setback lines from the original plat.
Any commercial development that they do would have to comply to our development plans and drainage criteria.
Concrete to a flood plain, and we're, you know, and if y'all submit another letter of map revision like you did with the Montgomery Creek Ranch. I just been concerned with, you know, my concern, of course, is flood. I deal with it every day.
At this point, the platting, you know, any development, to address the mayor's concern, any development that's in the floodplain would have to go through a development process, you know, the application process, and meet all the floodplain requirements. The purpose of this is a replat, and the owner of the property has complied with all of our subdivision regulations, and in my opinion, the court does not have any discretion to deny the replat.
Okay.
Action will need to be taken after the public hearing is recessed. It's the next agenda item.
Okay. On both items?
We had to take.
No, yes. And on this one, there was a, someone did file a protest. We have placed that in the file of Commissioner's Court. That's the gentleman, Mr. Carter, who was up here earlier. They don't need to go any further. You know, he does want to make sure that they're not necessarily agreeing to it because there's some litigation between some parties that may ensue. So, they want to file their protest to avoid any appearance of waiver.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anyone here that would like to make any other comment? All right. We'll now adjourn our public hearing and reconvene Commissioner's Court and take action on items A1 and B1.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. County Engineer.
I think that's what we just approved.
Oh, sorry. No, we did. We did. We did. We did. Commissioner, Precinct 1.
Consider to approve a $2,080 increase to position salary 61223404, completed probationary period. Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Open position 61222903-500, part-time recycle technician. It's funded at $18,638.88 to be effective 8/26/17. We had a young lady that's going to school. She wanted to volunteer to recycle, and she did. And she's so good, she's going to have to get her a part-time job. We wanted to hire her before she went to somebody else. So she's going to be a lot of help to us, and I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Consider approve a donation from D.R. Horton in the amount of $100,000, check number 636865. I think Mr. Horton realized the community in the county was under stress and needed some help, and he came forth to make this donation. Very heartfelt, kind gesture, and Mr. Horton, we certainly appreciate the help, and it will be put to good use. There's the check. And I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner, Human Resources.
Better hurry. We got about a minute left on the tape.
And please approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
You confused me, Commissioner.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
We now need to recess our commissioner's court for executive session under Article 551071.
We made it.
In our commissioner's court, there's no action necessary from executive session. And we're second. Citizens comment segment for anybody that would like to address the court on anything not on today's agenda.
Eric. I'll be really brief. Once again, I'm Eric Yalek, Precinct 3. During the budget process, Commissioners Nowak and Clark asked each department to reduce their budget by 5% to help reduce spending. And certain department heads rose to the task. And I just want to thank them today for doing that. And specifically, also, I want to thank Commissioner James Nowak and Commissioner Jim Clark for their leadership on that issue. The department heads who actually succeeded in reducing their budgets by 5% were Human Resources, Dodie Shaw, Risk Management, Virginia Little, County Clerk Mark Turnbull, Tax Assessor Collector Tammy McRae, Elections Administrator Susie Harvey, Building Maintenance, Paul Case, Mental Health, Gloria Kessler, Drug Court and DWI Court, Nate Jensen, County Engineer, Mark Mooney, and Airport Maintenance, James Brown. And to show my appreciation and hopefully the citizens' appreciation for their good work, I'd like to present each of them a lapel pin, Golden Hammer. And once again, thank you for all of their good efforts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to address court today? One second. Come on up. Sure. Pat, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
Everyone. First, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. Thank you again, Judge, and the all the support staff and everybody that's listening in. I'm Patrick Lopez, born and raised right here, and I graduated Conroe High School in 1991. Before the internet, I learned of specific jobs that the military has, so I joined the Navy, and now I'm retired from the Navy after 22 years, and instead of chasing a paycheck around the world with other agencies, I've decided to start a nonprofit for community, and the goal of our nonprofit is to restore confidence in community through three programs: Real Role Models for Youth, American Revive Warrior, and Eastern Shore Organic Farms. We are all volunteer program. Patrick Black, he actually works at NASA at Wallops Island. He's a volunteer with us and a veteran, and he said, Pat, I'd love to come down and help you out. Also, my wife, she's here with us, and she's not here now, but she is in Conroe. And something about what we've done, we collected donations from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. And through this grassroots collection to our nonprofit, our donations only, we raised about 17,000 pounds of goods valued at over $50,000. And what was very important that I learned from what we did compared to giving to the Red Cross or giving to another big entity is they have a personal connection. We told them, you can follow us now with social media, Facebook Live. We can donate it to people. And that's what they were very enchanted with. They liked the personal connection. The Eastern Shore of Virginia is over 100 miles long, and it includes the poorest county in the whole state of Virginia. And
oh, that was the. I forgot to reset it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Our time starts. Thanks. And so we've unified to support this cause, this unfortunate disaster. And a way this would help restoring confidence community to community is bringing communities together and giving them a personal touch. So what we are requesting is permission to plan and coordinate the ingress of the support to individuals on the ground and return of in a major disaster area where it may be a little more arduous or difficult for supplies to be given. That's what we would like to do. And we could even stay overnight if needed. We've got the support for that. And make a difference right there on the spot and then reassess when we get back. Also, I'd like to request to open the discussion for us to provide a veterans for work through, we would do an interview process, we do a nationwide call to support and rally where individuals could come here to Montgomery County, we could interview them, clear them to actually go to work, and then be able to give veterans that may need work. And I hear there's a lot of it here.
Why don't you get with me after court and let's visit about some of that?
Okay, yes, sir.
I'd love to do that.
Okay. Well, in closing, it's an honor for me to return home and support the very community that supported to make me the man I am today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank appreciate you. Your service. Thank you. All right. Thanks for being with us today. Anybody else that would like to address court today? Would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.